It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
We do it every Thursday at 9:45. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joins the show, gives us his thoughts on the National Hockey League and, of course, the Predators that we cover here in town. And, Greg, it's all coming to an end for the Predators. What a run it was. No, everybody saw it coming after the trade deadline and all the injuries that the young guys would get them to this point. But they're going to come up just a little bit short, miss the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. And what was crazy is these two that I work with, Michelle and Nick, were saying they were like freshmen in high school or something like that. Yep. The last time the Predators missed the playoffs, and I immediately told them to go away. But anyway, here we are. But what a run. And Barry Trotz, I think, is going to – now it's made his decision even tougher for what he wants to do to put his stamp on this team this offseason.
First of all, of course, I was only 9 years old the last time there was the playoffs.
Obviously. We wouldn't.
Obviously. Hey, this is, at the end of the day, yeah, it does make Barry's job a little bit more challenging. But, you know, ultimately, I kind of see the Predators and the Buffalo Sabres as kind of a piece in this last month of the season, wherein it was two teams that not a lot of people gave hope that they would be in a playoff race this late in the season. Buffalo, because they hit a massive losing streak, in Nashville, obviously, because of being a seller at the deadline. And at the end of the day, both teams really rode a collection of good young players to playing important, relevant games late in the year. And that's, you talk to any coach or any general manager, like, sometimes that's going to be as beneficial down the road as actually making the playoffs. Like, just playing important games, playing pressure-filled games, understanding what it takes to be in situations like this, I think ultimately, for a lot of the younger players on the Predators, we're going to look back at this moment in a couple of years and say, okay, this was an important one for them to get a taste of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I'm curious of, and I'd love your perspective as somebody that covers the entire league, we all know Barry Trotz, the coach, and what kind of a person he is. He's a great human being, obviously a Stanley Cup winning coach. Nobody knows Barry Trotz, the general manager. Not even Barry Trotz knows what that is going to be like. So I think that's the fun part, you know, for all of us that cover the team, to kind of see him, you know, grow into that role, listen to some advice from David Poile. But, you know, he's worked for Lou Lamoriello and, you know, others around the league. And so kind of see how he builds this. But what do you think that process will be like for him to grow into that role and build this the way that he wants to do it and not necessarily the way that David has done it?
Yeah, I mean, I envision it kind of like he's a CEO, right? And he's going to surround himself with the best lieutenants that he could find, surround himself with people that have done this job before, but also hopefully surround himself with some people that are kind of forward-thinking to where the league is right now. My only concern with Barry as GM, besides the lack of experience and the X's and O's of what the job entails, is the fact that he's coached in this league for a very, very long time. He probably has an idea of what kind of player he wants and what kind of team he wants to build to be successful in this league. But this league has changed a lot, man, since he got into the business, yeah. Right? I mean, this league has now become extraordinarily offensive. You know, I think at the end of the day, the goals per team per game is going to be the highest since 92-93. So when you think about a Barry Trotz team and what those teams did to be successful, they are very, very different than what the teams today are doing to be successful. And I'm curious to see how he's kind of changed with the times, both within his mindset of what it takes to win in the league, but also in his mindset of what kind of player he wants on his roster.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN joins us. Greg, this morning the Blackhawks put out a statement. GM Kyle Davidson said, "I've had a number of conversations with Jonathan Toews throughout the season about his future with the Blackhawks, and recently we had a difficult conversation that we will not be re-signing him this offseason, so tonight will be his final game as a Blackhawk." Do you think this is him maybe moving into retirement? Do you think he tries to, you know, run it back somewhere else? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, those two things are obviously both on the table until he says otherwise. It's pretty clear both he and Patrick Kane didn't exactly have an appetite to see this rebuild through, you know, knowing where they are in their careers and knowing what they've already accomplished. And I think that's their right, as it is the Blackhawks' right to say, hey, we're going in a different direction, and we need kind of a clean break with the past. And they've been doing that gradually over the last couple of years. And Duncan Keith, obviously, you know, Brent Seabrook, other players that were hallmarks of those championship teams have all moved on or retired. In Taves' case, the retirement aspect of it is obviously health related. He's been pretty open with the struggles that he's had, in particular with long COVID. And you wonder whether or not, you know, part of that conversation was him needing a little bit of time to evaluate exactly if he wants to play next season, and if so, where. You know, listen, the legacy of that team on the ice is remarkable. I mean, along with the Lightning, the closest thing to a dynasty maybe that we've had in the last 15 years. I mean, obviously off the ice, the Blackhawks have been maligned, and rightfully so, for the way they've handled certain situations. But you know, what Kane and Taves were able to do with that franchise from a competitive standpoint is going to be something that a generation of fans is going to hold on to for a very long time.
And I can tell you, hockey fans will be very mad if they end up getting Bedard in the draft this year.
Well, fans around here.
Chicago fans will be very, very happy. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on with us. Greg, the longest consecutive playoff appearances in the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins with 16, the Nashville Predators and the Washington Capitals both at 8. All three of those broken this year. The Pittsburgh Penguins just got eliminated last night, and then obviously the Preds and the Capitals have been eliminated. What do you make of that? I know you mentioned we've seen the NHL change as a whole, right, when Barry started coaching, and now it's so much more focused on the offense of the game. What do you make of all three of these organizations missing the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I mean, in the Preds' case, you know, there's obviously some other things at play, injuries and people just not having good seasons and looking at a different direction at the trade deadline. The Capitals and Penguins were kind of a piece in the sense that they were both trying to, like, force their competitive window open. Boston was in the same boat. They managed to do it. The other two teams were unsuccessful in doing it. This is the first time since 2005-2006 that neither Sidney Crosby nor Alex Ovechkin will be in the playoffs. And that was their rookie season. So, like,
wow.
That's to show you what kind of run it's been for these two franchises. Both are going to get another kick at this, I think. The Penguins have upwards of $20 million in cap space in the offseason. They may have a new general manager. If you're to listen to the crowds chanting to fire Ron Hextall, there's going to be a lot of pressure for them to make a move at the top because the mix that they created around their core was not good this season. In the Capitals' case, it's almost the same thing. Like, they've got a lot of cap space this offseason. When Alex Ovechkin re-signed with them, there was sort of an agreement between him and their owner, Ted Leonsis, that they were going to keep the team competitive and a playoff team and not just build a team where Ovi's scoring a bunch of goals and they're in the draft lottery every year. So I think both teams in their own ways are going to be very aggressive in trying to keep their window open. But again, like, you look at the changing in the guard in the Eastern Conference, the Devils made their leap this year. I think Buffalo is in position to make their leap. Detroit's building, Ottawa's building. It may just be a situation where these teams are going to end up in Chicago's boat, where the glory years are gone and you have to start making some really tough decisions with the big names on the roster.
So the season winding down, Greg, obviously most of the teams will end their season tonight, have a couple of games tomorrow, including Predators and Colorado. Now, Colorado still has a chance to win this Central Division. They need to win tonight. If Dallas wins tonight, then I think they have to win tomorrow. But they have a game in hand, so that could be interesting. And also Carolina and New Jersey, it's tight there at the top of the Metro Division. So there is definitely something to play for and to watch with the next two nights. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, not only that, you have the bottom of the East, too, where the Islanders and Panthers are both vying to not play Boston.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty advisable thing, I think, if you're one of those teams. So, yeah, there's a lot of pieces that are still kind of in play right now. I've been really impressed with the way that Dallas has finished the season. I don't know if they're going to end up in the top spot in the Central, but they seem to be really closing the deal well and playing their best hockey at the right time. I've talked to a few people around the league that think that Dallas is a stealthy Stanley Cup contender. Because of their roster, because of their goaltending, and because they have so many offensive weapons. So they're one to watch. And then in the East, like you said, I mean, it could be a situation where the Devils not only create the biggest, I think, year-over-year increase in points in NHL history, but end up winning the Metro, which would deprive us of a first-round matchup between the Devils and Rangers, which obviously would be a lot of fun. But you know, it could end up really upending some things in the East as far as the seeding goes.
Yeah, Devils, Rangers, Leafs, Tampa Bay would be. I mean, that's going to be fun. and like, you know, those fan bases are like, really, this is what we have to do in the first round. But that's what it's going to be. I mean, you know, Edmonton, LA, and then whatever happens in the Central too with that. I mean, I think we're really in for a treat for these Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the unpredictability in the West, I mean, Colorado's good, but they're not nearly as good as they were last year, is going to make for some entertaining times. And in the East right now, it's kind of, I wrote about this today on ESPN.com. You can check out my column. It's you know, can the Bruins make it through that meat grinder? President's Trophy winners, traditionally and especially in the wild card era, have not made it through the meat grinder. So we'll see what happens with the Bruins after all this regular season success.
Yeah, for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week when the playoffs get going.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:45, and the Predators will take on the Minnesota Wild tonight. Pregame coverage with Max Herz at 6 o'clock, and then they'll wrap it up tomorrow against Colorado with pregame at 6, puck drop at 7 here on 105-106.3. The game. Coming up next, speaking of playoffs, one Tennessee team is in the playoffs. We'll discuss them next here on Chase and Michelle, 105-106.3, The Game.